I had a Talmud, and he had a different first name, Shalom Spira. And I keep on saying Shalom.
Is there somewhere I can clip it? Or?
Yeah. You got to remember, a lot of people are listening. I have to have Rachmanis on them. You don't know. I know. I was in Chicago and New York. I could leave what happened to me. Even worse, someone who learned the Kollel never came to one class of mine, suddenly is my Talmud Mufak. You follow?
When you're in America, we have us listening to you from Israel.
Baruch Hashem.
I listen to the Shir of the Mossad.
Yeah, but you couldn't hear what I spoke Shabbos, which was the Shir, but never what we could do. Okay, gentlemen. Panim Chadashat, are you in the Kollel or visiting?
I'm visiting.
What's your name?
David Frager.
David Frager?
Yeah.
And where are you from, David?
Philadelphia.
That's my hometown at one point in life, 61, 62. Okay, I can begin the... Everything's working?
Yes.
Okay. It's Sunday, December 16th, 2012, and my life has known no peace since last Wednesday when I got a call from the States warning me that there's going to be a big explosion in the New York Times within a day or two, and kachave. So I just want to go on record that I'm fully aware of what's happened. I will comment on it tomorrow, towards the end of Shir. I have what to say, but it's for tomorrow's class, not today. Now, with that being said, let me welcome all the students who have come in, and I'm not ashamed. You're looking at me like you don't know what's going on. You know or you don't know. Why, you, New York Times, forwards, every scandal sheet in the world, every website. If you don't know, ask your friends to tell you, because I can't mouth what has been published, but I will relate to it tomorrow towards the end of class. Ali, I'm aware of it. Be aware. So, yeah, I got so many emails that the student offered to help carry. He says, Rebbe, can you carry 100 pages? He couldn't believe what Sherry was giving me. And I said, 100 pages I can carry, 100 pounds I can't. So I just want to put your minds at ease. I don't want to relate to it today. Today... there's a reason why. Tomorrow will be tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll relate to it. Rabbi Rubin will find out tomorrow that he made a bad mistake, but we'll leave that for tomorrow. He's been corrected from across the world. Rabbi Rubin, did you get the phone number you wanted?
No.
What do you mean, no? I sent you an email and I sent you a fax.
You didn't lose.
I don't know what I did with them. I have so many papers here.
I
sent it. One second. Here it is. Pass this back. I'm an organized person, Yaakov. Okay. Let me reiterate again. I announced that I'm fully aware of the atom bomb that has fallen, or the hydrogen bomb that has fallen on the Yeshiva University community. I will relate to it tomorrow at the end of Shir. So just be aware that I'm aware, but I want to do it tomorrow. Not now. I want to teach today, tomorrow at the end of the year. Tomorrow I have a big presentation. Okay. Now, gentlemen, we finished out Minhag, and there's a lot of people jumped on me with kisses and hugs for the rupture and reconstruction part of the final shir I gave before Hanukkah, and a lot of people appreciated it. And I do stand on, David, I do stand on what I said, that minhag is very important. When we're not sure, there's a certain rhythm to Jewish life, and minhag becomes important. Some of the most basic elements of our observance is no more than minhag, but minhag is very important. Women light two Shabbos candles, try to find a makar for it. It's a minhag, this is minhag Yisrael. Other women have a minhag for every child, all right. And minhagim on top of minhagim, what we do Friday night, we hold which challah on top, which do we cut, what we do Shabbos morning, do we cut the challah before we make the brach, before we're ready to cut it properly, are you allowed, does it interfere with the lechem mishnah, doesn't it? And this is all minhag. Do we stand for Kiddush? Do we sit for Kiddush? And there's a certain rhythm that we inherit by watching our parents. In Chesky's case, it's his parents, his grandparents. He comes from very fine Jews. And he and his wife are even finer than those they come from because they live in Eretz Yisrael. And that's a big schut and a big mitzvah. You don't realize every minute that you're in Eretz Yisrael, Holeich Balad Amot, Sharui Belochet, what a schut, Yishuva Aretz. If you're a street cleaner here, it's more important than being a rabbi in America, basically. Because a street cleaner has a mitzvah. At the end of Ketuvah, I don't have to go into open gemaras. It's so important to build Eretz Yisrael, and thank God we're building it. All right. So minig is very important. The minig determines a great part of life. And Yitzchak, tongue-in-cheek, don't take everything at face value, but think about what I said. Don't dismiss it so easily when it's an open Gemara. And when the Alt of Slabatka used to clean the streets of Hebron and quote the Gemara, what he's doing, what a mitzvah he has that he's cleaning the streets of Hebron. So my classmate, Dr. Grach, and I corrected myself last week in my talk in YU, I was praising my students, and the main part of what I was praising them about, I miffed with, you know, my mind ran ahead of my mouth, and I called them Hagon Reb Chaim, Dr. Grach. Dr. Grach, in his article, Reption Reconstruction, which is a brilliant, brilliant piece of work. If you recall, I showed you with the Mishnah Brewer and the Aruch HaShulchan, and how many times I've looked at that Mishnah Brewer and looked at that Aruch HaShulchan, and Daniel, I never saw what Reb Chaim saw in it. And in a minute, he opened my eyes to the whole world. And gentlemen, we are a Kli Shlishi today. Whether Yitz Reuben likes it or not, I stand on what I said. The world came to an end when the Rav switched to English. Until that time, I was a Kli Sheni. My Rabbeim, I'm a Litvak. If you're not a Litvak, you're not going to appreciate what I'm about to say. Or you won't appreciate what I'm going to criticize the Litvakim in a few minutes. But I'm a Litvak. And when I had gekent gekriegen the Teil in Yiddish, there was continuity. I was still in Slabodka, I was still in Mir. The minute the Rav switched to English, the world came to an end. Because look what's happened. The Rav is a Kli Rishon. Rav Aaron Cutler is a Kli Rishon. Rav Moshe Feinstein is a Kli Rishon. Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin is a Kli Rishon. A little kid from the Bronx named Donnie Rothkopf managed to befriend all these four names that I just mentioned. So I'm a Kli Sheni. And now I'm trying to teach you in a goyish sprach, in a terrible language in English, the language of Clinton, the language of Obama, the language of JFK.
You
didn't learn in Lakewood. In Lakewood, they convinced me that the Torah was given in Yiddish. What do you want out of me? Would they lie to me in Lakewood? So you today are a Kli Shlishi. And even if you don't think you're a Kli Shlishi, Ruption Reconstruction, read Reb Chaim's article, and you see what happened to the world. We had to start from scratch. The whole world was destroyed, the Hasidic world, the Litvish world. We have rebuilt the world. It's a beautiful world. Part of it I want no part of it I love. But all right, Torah has to move on. Does Minhag really conquer the world today? So that's what I ended off my shiurim, that with all that Reb Chaim said, I have confidence in the Torah people that even today, after the rupture, we are reconstructing. Minhag becomes important. And somehow Torah will seek its own level. The Torah people will thrive in dignity despite all that has happened to us. And the proof of the matter is that in the year 2012, by any conservative estimate, there are over 2 million Shomer Shabbos Jews in the world. So you want to be a wise guy and say, big deal, 2 million, but there are 12 million Jews. But look at it differently. After the Holocaust, I don't think you had 400,000 Jews in the world who were Shomer Torah Mitzvah. And all the intelligent Jews like Ben-Gurion all said 10, 20 years, there won't be a frum Jew left in the world. So Baruch Hashem, minhag is important despite the rupture, and it's a beautiful reconstruction. A Litvak like myself suffers, but that's part of being a Litvak. your children and your grandchildren will long have forgotten what Lithuania was about, and they're going to be very happy with the reconstruction. And now, gentlemen, I come to a major topic, and now I want to criticize the Litvish world in which I was raised. What went wrong in Lithuania? See, the Rav had a good sense of humor, and he taught us an amazing expression. He was describing the differences between his two Zaydas. When the Rav spoke about Reb Chaim, everyone knows Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim. He also occasionally spoke about Reb Elia Pruzhana. Everyone has a mother and a father. His father's father was Reb Chaim Briska. His mother's father was Reb Eliyahu Feinstein, known as the Rav of Pruzhan, known to everyone as Reb Elia Pruzhana. So the Rav once described, he said that Reb Elia Pruzhana knew Yoredeya by heart. He was a fabulous posek. Reb Chaim, on the other hand, never paskin the Shaila, could never paskin a Shaila. When he was elected Rav of Brisk, he made a tenai that they have to hire an Av Beitin, and he hired Reb Simcha Zelig Griga, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. I think Hashem Yikom Damo, I think he was killed in the Holocaust. And Reb Simcha Zelig was the posek of Brisk. And why couldn't Reb Chaim Paskin his Shaila? Because of the Reb Chaim's method of Shnei Dinim, of seeing the dialectical tension, the dialectical approach. So the Rav once described the conversation he had with his grandfather Reb Elia, and it was about a Rambam, a Mar, but that's not important now. What's important is when the Rav quoted Reb Chaim to Reb Elia Pruzhana, so Reb Elia Pruzhana answered, I was born before Matan Torah. And what does that mean? Reb Elia Pruzhana was of a Lashon Talmud when they yet knew how to paskin, when a Shtat Rav had to paskin. Reb Chaim revolutionized everything. That was a new Matan Torah. And after Reb Chaim, I can tell you, I grew up in YU, I told you this many times, I look back, I laugh and I cry. I was so close to my Rebbeim, the Shanghai crowd, the Litvisha, the Tells crowd, the Mira crowd. They did not know how to paskin. I remember Reb Yerucham Yerelik saying to me when I showed him two different opinions with the Mishnah Brura, he says, Ich weiß nicht allein wie zu paskening. And I was a kid, I was flabbergasted. A big Talmud Chacham doesn't know how to paskin. And you all know that this became part of the Litvish heritage. They all said that Reb Chaim destroyed the ability to paskin. It got so bad that the Slabodka Yeshiva after World War I organized a special kollel, a kollel where they would specialize in psak halacha, that Klal Yisrael should have poskim. Can anyone tell me who studied in that kollel and became one of the great poskim in America? Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. So you understand, in Slavutka already, they had to take a special kollel, and the kollel, that's where they taught you how to poskim. By the way, Rav Lessin was one of the advocates of this kollel, because he was a shtat rav, and he went on fundraising trips to support the kollel. And that's how we got to know the big world. And if you read Washington carefully, you notice I say that Rav Lessin was not cynical about America, because he had been there before. He already knew America in the 1920s, and he traveled in Switzerland when the war broke out. He was able to save his life that way. Part of his family got out. Part was killed by Hitler. But that was the Slabodka Kollel. And a Rav has to know how to paskin. So here we are, post-rupture, in Reconstruction, and I want to raise a serious issue. And I want to give you a number of makarot. You know, we have an inferiority complex, which we should have. Who are we? What are we? To paskin is shayla. Difficult shayla. And I've gotten, in the course of time, I've gotten shaylat and mamzeret. I've gotten shaylat and aguna. I mean, these are difficult shaylat. All right, Yontif Sheni, everyone wants to stone me. I still believe with all my heart and soul that the Rav is absolutely right. This manazel, when we go back and forth, there is no room for the Shulchan Aruch. Aye, how can you paskin against the Shulchan Aruch? I'm going to deal with that in class in great detail. I spoke with the Rav about it. I'm well prepared to defend myself. But I mean, to take on Achrayit, even with Yontif Sheni. All right, Yontif Sheni is only a Din D'Rabbanan. It's not Agun, it's not Mamzeret. It's not the more difficult Sheilot in life. Conversion, Gira. I've had, in the course of time, every She'ila basically that you can imagine. And many times I paskin, many times I spoke with Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, I spoke with Rabbi Avadji Yosef, all right. Sometimes I hit a home run, like I write about in Washington when I was able to be Matir and Aguna with a Sveik Sveiker growing out of a shir I gave right here in the Kollel, looking at Bini Blau, I still remember, and suddenly my mind lit up. And Rav Ovadia kissed me. I hit the nail on the head. So, you know, who are we? What are we, American kids? I'll talk tomorrow what it means to be an American kid, what it means to horse around. If you've read the New York Times or read the forewords, you may recognize the term that now entered our literature, to horse around. And I'll show you how to horse around tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem. All right. Who, what, when, where? Who the heck is Ani Rothkopf? All right, Aaron Rakefet. You like the name Aaron Rakefet better? We'll take Aaron Rakefet. Who the heck is Aaron Rakefet? Who gives you the right to paskin? And I want to add to this. We hear the stories of Gedolei Yisrael. Now, you hear about Gedolim in Europe, and that every month were Messiahim Shas. Now, you just think what I said. I don't know. Do you believe it? Don't you believe it? I know I've been Messiahim Shas twice in my life. And now, Wednesday's my mother's first job site, Harini Kaparat Mishkava. I'm making a scene in Mesechet Brachat. All right. Every month to be Messiah Shas? Wow. I'm a worm compared to that ability. I don't think the Rav could be Messiah Shas every month. But Shalom, Shalom. Moshe, you don't believe what I'm saying? So I'll tell you a story that I know to be true. Okay? And this story, you got to buy it. 18 grand to the IOUS. Okay? Sold. Ellie, you've heard of Reb Chaim Zimmerman? Okay. Reb Chaim Zimmerman was a guy. I've told the story before, but now I want to tell it in context, and I want to open up Shas to you. Reb Chaim Zimmerman was a giant of giants. He was kicked out of Europe. His uncle was from Baruch Belaibovich. I mean, I don't have to tell you. Reb Chaim told me the story, you know, and but I know the story even before he told it to me. Rav Palev told me the story. Rav Baruch Be'er, he was a kid. He knew all of Shas, knew everything by heart. And then he gets involved with mathematics, biology, science. You know, Rav Chaim considered himself a great scientist, which he probably was. He astronomy, what he knew, what he published. So Rav Baruch Be'er said he'll destroy all the yeshivot in Europe. It's like the machleket here going on now with core curriculum. So he said, get out to America. It's like Satmar in New York said, if they get a problem girl, they're going to kick her out of Satmar and send her to Israel. In Israel, they get a problem girl, they send her to America. I mean, it's mind-boggling. So he kicked him to America. So Rav Chaim arrived in Yeshiva College. It wasn't YU yet. He learned B'chavruta with my youngest brother's father-in-law. If any one of you have a father or grandfather learned in RJJ, ask them about Rav Dov Sherman. Rav Dov Sherman was a Rebbe there for 40, 50, 60 years. He is my youngest brother's father-in-law, Zechayna Tzichrono Tzadik Livracha, and he learned with Chavruta with Chaim Zimmerman. So Chaim Zimmerman was a genius, and wherever you have a genius, he's a character. He couldn't find Panasser in New York. He winds up in Chicago, the Rosh Yeshiva of Skokie. He had a fabulous Talmud, Norman Frimmer, Rabbi Dr. Norman Frimmer. If you don't recognize this name, make believe you do, so the ignorant pass for the wise. Can anyone tell me who Rabbi Norman Frimmer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who his sons are? Dov Frimmer, the famous lawyer, among others. He has two other sons here as well. Dov Frimmer is Norman's son. Norman was the head of B'nai B'rith in America. He was once captured by Palestinian terrorists in Washington. He was a fabulous individual. So Norman told me the following story. I heard this with my ears from the person involved. Norman tells me the following story. He meets his Rebbe, Reb Chaim, in Chicago during the 9 days. And Reb Chaim says to his beloved Talmud, Norman, he says, Normie, I gotta have a corned beef sandwich. This is 10 o'clock in the morning. And Norman says to Reb Chaim, Rebbe, it's the 9 days, you must be joking. And Reb Chaim says, no, I'm not joking. Meet me 8 o'clock tonight at the deli. Norman Frimmes, Rebbe says, meet him at 8 o'clock. Reb Chaim walks in at 8 o'clock carrying a Baba Batra. He makes a siyum, and there they are, corned beef sandwiches galore. So Norman Frimmes very innocently says to Reb Chaim, Rebbe, when did you start studying Baba? Now, Baba Batra, I think you know, is the biggest Masechet in Shas. Am I right or wrong? Well, how many Art Scroll books take to do it? 3, 4, who knows what Art Scroll, you can go out of your mind, 5 pages on one daf. You know what he answers him? Oh, I started to learn, when did we meet this morning? 10 o'clock? About 10:30, I started learning Baba Batra. So now, that's a true story that I can vouch for. Well, if that's a true story that I can vouch for, who are we to paskin shei elat? Mi anochi. And you follow me? And even Steve, who studied, what's it, in Or Sameach, and he's met Rebbeim there, who are they to paskin? Who are they? Eish HaTorah, who are they to paskin shei elat? Not only us. Okay. So I want to give you self-confidence, and I want to give you a basic klal in Yahadut that should accompany you for the next 100 years. You're all in your 20s. Be'ezrat Hashem, please close the door. I can't. Thanks, Ellie. Be'ezrat Hashem, you'll live to be more than 120. They have so many advances in science. I never want you to forget what I'm about to tell you and the sources I'm about to show you. Why is Rakefet so upset with certain chumras that have crawled on the American scene and influence Israel as well? People are not eating strawberries. Why am I upset? What's that? People are not eating spinach. Why am I upset? Why am I upset? Gedolei Yisrael ate strawberry. Gedolei ate spinach. People are not drinking water in Brooklyn. Why am I upset? Because of Sandy? You follow me, Moshe? This is long before Sandy. Gentlemen, when God gave the Torah, and I gave many lectures on this a number of years ago, among my best lectures ever, the Torah is given to a mortal. It is not given to an angel. God cannot require of us what a mortal cannot achieve. This is, and you can go into the literature, it's not for now, but the famous tshuva of the Sach Tshuva of Reb Avraham Bornstein, the Avnei Nezer, it deals with the electromicroscope. And when that microscope was invented, people looked at, did you ever look at a drop of water? You've studied biology, I don't know, chemistry. Look at a drop of water under a microscope. Ribbono shel Olam, so many bugs are crawling around. It is unbelievable. But the Torah does not require a person to walk around with a microscope. If you cannot see the bug with normal vision, it is not a bug that is forbidden by the Torah. And Jews from time immemorial had a way, a nohag, how you clean a strawberry, what you cut off, what you clean, and they ate strawberries. People tell me now they're not eating cashews. People tell me they're not eating dates. I mean, these are all the most healthy fruits and vegetables you can imagine. Ribbono shel Olam, we're not drinking water. And I've held up every glass I ever drink in Brooklyn. I hold up to the light. I have yet to see anything in a glass of water. I asked an Adam Gadol, tell me, you drink water? But no, I don't drink, only filtered. I say, tell me, did you ever see something crawling around you? Yeah, once I saw. I don't know. I'm not psyched that I should see a bug crawling around in a glass of water. Now, this is a very basic principle. It affects the entire halachic system. You all should recall that no one is infallible. We all make mistakes. Right or wrong? I always tell people when I came in Aliyah, and I don't know why, I never really ate strawberries in America. And it must have been the early 70s. I remember like yesterday. I'm standing online in a co-op in Beit HaKerem. I was coming from Michlalatz. Before all these roads were built, there was no traffic. You could go anywhere in Jerusalem in 3 minutes, 4 minutes. No cars, no traffic. I'm standing in line, and a woman comes over me. I can still see that woman before my eyes. And she says, "Ata chovesh kippah, you're wearing a kippah. What bracha do I make in strawberries?" And I answer ha'etz. And I realized afterwards that we make hadamah in strawberries. And all the years I clapped out great that I answered her, until I learned the Tosfot and Brachot, and I found out that it's a perennial, you don't plant it, according to Tosfot, you make ha'etz. And all the Eidat HaMizrach make ha'etz on strawberries. So Baruch Hashem, I didn't make such a terrible mistake. But where do we find this in the halacha? This is Tanu di Achnai, the sugya in Baba Metzia, Daf Nun Tet. The Rav says, and you can see it in writing in the Chamesh Drashot, but I heard the Rav with my own ears, Ichab Givent. I cried when I learned the Gemara in Baba Metzia. Why did he cry? Because Rabbi Eliezer is right. The batkol rings out, Rabbi Eliezer is right. If I'm right, let there be a Sandy. Sandy comes along, washes away the Beis Medrash, right or wrong. And what happens? They tell the Chachamim, tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, butt out, lo bashamayim hi. The Ribbono Shel Olam, then you meet Eliyahu HaNavi, and the Yalehu Navi, and he says, nu, how do you feel to the Ribbono Shel Olam? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, nitzchuni banai, nitzchuni. That my sons are correct. In order to give the Torah, it has to be given in a human context. And if it's given in a human context, the human being has to paskin. We may not be always right. We may not be always correct. But the halacha is like the Beitin Shel Mata. If a girl is going to come to me, when I taught for 31 years, I taught women. And women are generally more pious than men. Although I often tell my students, I could give the same Musa talk in Machon Gold and in BMT on the same day. You know what the difference was? The girls in Machon Gold walked out crying, and the boys in BMT walked out laughing. Understand? So women by nature, although I have to say certain books have been written recently. I've had the pleasure of reading a new book came out, Divorce, Marriage and Divorce in Israel by Susan Weiss and Nettie Gross, Horowitz, let me tell you, such enmity for Torah I have yet to see. Two graduates of Central Yeshiva High School in Queens. What's it called? Yeshiva of Central Queens. Am I right? Anyone here who went there? Two graduates. Girls who were from, raised from. I want to tell you, the book by Deborah, what's her name, Feldman, Unorthodox, that book, you cry, she should have gone to Stern College, she would have been at Sadeket. If I would have been raised in Satmar and with her open mind, who knows what would have happened to me. But that book, one demerit. The other book, 10 demerits on a scale of 1 to 10. But women generally are more pious by nature. So a woman will come to you and she'll say, Rebbe, I think you're a wonderful Rebbe. I appreciate what you're teaching me, but I have a shaila what I should do, Yom Tov Sheni. You know what I'm going to do, Rebbe? My parents are wealthy. I'm making a trip to Germany before Pesach. I'm going to the kever of Rebbe Kivega. His kever still stands in Posen. I'm going to ask Rebbe Akivega to paskin the shaila for me. No, is she normal or is she off the wall? That Rakefet agrees that Rabbi Akiva Ega is 1,000 times a bigger lamdan, 1 million times a bigger lamdan, 1 million times a bigger tzaddik, that I agree 1,000%. But I'm alive now. He's not alive. Now, this is a basic concept. You don't have to feel second rate. We have to do the best we can. But we have to paskin. We have to take a stand. We have to decide. No, yitz is what I'm saying. Drush, Rakefet is carrying on, giving a little sermon. Absolutely not. Open Gemaras. that will singe your ears. Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chafei Yomad Aleph, Chafei Yomad Bet, the Perek Sheni, the famous Mishnayot, Chet Tet. We have a minig Rosh Hashanah. I don't know if you have the minig, but in my house, my children have the minig today. There are four meals in Rosh Hashanah, right? Two and two. At every meal, we learn a perek, so that we do always do Masechet Rosh Hashanah on Rosh Hashanah. No, you have the famous story of Rabbi Yoshua, that Rabbi Gamliel declared Rosh Chodesh. This was Al Pi Haria. Al Pi Haria, you have to be a genius in astronomy. You have to know where the new moon is, where the new moon can be. We have to know that no one is making a mistake. We have to know that this is Rosh Chodesh. Rabbi Gamliel declared it. He accepted the Edom. You all know the Mishnah. I don't want to go into details. You can look it up. And Rabbi Yoshua said, Rabbi Gamliel, you are wrong. And Rabbi Yoshua was ready to observe a different Yom Kippur. Could you imagine? And the Chachamim told Rabbi Yoshua off. And the way they told him off is classic to understanding what Torah is about, what Psak is about, what tradition is about, what rabbis are about. And I'm now quoting to you from the Mishnah, and Rabbi Gamliel hears what Rabbi Yoshua is up to, and Rabbi Gamliel says to him, goes, Reini alecha shetavo etzli b'maklecho b'mawatecha b'yom kippur shechal liot b'cheshbonecha. And he says, I order you to appear before me, put into modern language, in your car, with your wallet, with your money, on the Yom Kippur you think is Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yoshua was very upset. Very upset. Imagine if you want to observe 2 days Yontif, and your Rebbe says, in my yeshiva, it's a day, the second day you don't do malacha, but it's an Israeli second day. You know, you feel very upset. No. So they saw he was very upset. Rabbi Akiva meets him, and Rabbi Akiva says to him, you have no right to be upset. Rabbi Gamliel is correct. Shenema, Eile Moadei Hashem Mikrei Kodesh Hashet Tukru Otam. Bein Bizmanam, Bein Shalom Bizmanam, Ein Li Moadot Ela Eilu. That this is built into the Torah system. You may make a mistake. You're only mortal. You're only human. Nobody is an Einstein. By the way, I heard a fabulous shiur today on a CD, Reb Aaron Soloveitchik speaking about Einstein and knowledge and Torah sensitivity. Reb Aaron was very, very special. No one here is an Einstein. But we have to have one calendar. God have mercy if we have two calendars. Look at the elections in Israel. Can you imagine how many votes are going to be lost because in the Mamlachti Dati camp, the Tzioni Dati camp, my camp, you already have a splinter party running, has no chance of getting through, I think it's 3% they need. No chance. But they're convinced they're going to do it. In the Degel HaTorah world, it is beyond words. The Talmidim of Rav Shmuel Orbach formed a new party with a new newspaper where they get all the money to spend in the Haredi world. There are more newspapers than all the daily newspapers in New York put together. What do you have in New York? Daily News, New York Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. I don't think there's another daily newspaper. Take a look how many daily newspapers there are in the so-called Haredi world. And it's a tragedy. Of course, tens of thousands of room votes are down the drain. They don't count at all if you don't hit 3%. I can't believe what's going on, but what can you do? There's no one to talk to, or no one wants to listen to you. Gentlemen, we have one calendar, and even if there's a mistake, that's the calendar that God follows. What a vot Rabbi Akiva told him. But that's Rabbi Akiva. He wasn't so happy. Rabbi Akiva's only one. Barlow, He then went on, and he goes to Rav Dosa ben Hurkanis, and Rav Dosa ben Hurkanis gives him the key to understanding the Torah. And he says to him, Rav Yehoshua, if we're going to criticize a Beit Din, and we're not going to accept the psak of the Nasi, we will have to criticize every Beit Din that ruled the Jewish people, Mimosha the Ad Akshav. And he quotes an unbelievable pasuk, Shenema Vayal Moshe Baran Nadav Aviyu V'Shivim Mizikney Yisrael. And here he asked that famous question, why doesn't the Torah list out the Shivim Ziknei Yisrael? Why are they anonymous? And he says to him, because throughout the generations, there are going to be endless judges, anonymous, not as great as Moshe, not as learned as Moshe. They're not Moshe Rabbeinu, lo kam kamoshe od. Occasionally they're going to make mistakes, but they're our leaders. We're living in their generation. What they paskin is what counts. And Rabbi Yoshua, after hearing the musa of Rabbi Akiva and the rebuke of Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanis, felt better, and on his Yom Kippur, he went to Rabbi Gamliel, drove up in his car with money and his checkbook in his hand, and Omar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva stood up for him and kissed him on the head. Omalo, what a Mishnah. Bo b'shalom Rabbi v'talmidi. Rabbi b'chachma v'talmidi shekibalta et devarim. What a beautiful Mishnah. Come in peace, my master and my student. My master, you were right. I was wrong. You know astronomy better than I do. My student, that you accepted my ruling and didn't destroy continuity, tradition, didn't create machloket, controversy, pulmus, dialogue, which sometimes becomes very sharp and leads to enmity and jealousy, and all that goes with it. That Mishnah is basic to understanding Pesach. And I'm just beginning. But I don't want Daniel Abraham to walk out with smicha and say, who am I? You have to be honest. You have to do the best you can. You have to check the sources. We're going to get to it. But you can reach a conclusion. When you're young, always consult with somebody. I always tell young rabbis, choose someone that you feel at home with. It doesn't have to be in your neighborhood. You may be in a shtetl where there is no, but someone you can talk with. Someone I used to consult with, Reb Moshe Bick. When I was growing up, Reb Moshe Bick was a light for me. He was a fabulous posek and a fabulous individual. I learned a great deal from him. I used to consult with Reb Melech Shechter, Rabbi Dr. Melech Shechter. He was a Rav, a Talmud Chacham, who dealt with real problems. I learned a lot by watching them. Of course, I need not tell you, the Rav being a Litvak, but he had he had to steal a base in his life. Why? Because he wound up in Boston. And willy-nilly, to use a word the Rav taught me, al-kachol, al-chamato, V'bal kacho, alapo v'chamato, I think is the modern Hebrew expression. In English, it's alapo v'chamato. In English, it's willy-nilly. And willy-nilly, he had to become a posek. He was not raised to be a posek. Believe me. Reb Moshe, I have in my book on the Rav, when the Rav told us that when they came to Reb Moshe in Brisk, and they asked the Shaila from Reb Moshe, he said, ask the Dayan. So Reb Chaim took him aside. Reb Chaim said to him, "Mein Zun, my son, when I say I don't know, ask the Dayan, no one believes me that I don't know. They just know I know too much on the topic. When you say you don't know, they're going to believe you. You better paskin." So Reb Moshe willy-nilly also, and he went to Chaslovich, Rezan, Chaslovich, okay, he had the paskin. The Rav really had a paskin, because he wound up in Boston, And ultimately, he's the unofficial chief rabbi of Boston. Everyone was subservient to him. The Boston Rebbe came to him with his difficult shilas. Okay? So I learned a great deal talking and learning with the Rebbe. Then I was much older. Reb Moshe Bick and Reb Melech Shachter educated me when I was a kid, when I was a lot younger than you are. In our days, as I told you, we matured at an earlier age. So, but this Mishnah is so important, but it's more than that. Look into the Gemara, Daf Chafchei Yomid Bet, and the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. What I love about Schattenstein is he gives you the psukim on the side. Quote, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim, Moshe b'Aaron v'Kohanav u'Shmuel b'Korei Shemo. You know, you say this pasuk Friday night in Kabbalat Shabbat. And the Gemara asks, what do you mean, Moshe b'Aaron, and you put Shmuel HaNavi in the same company? Moshe, the greatest Jew that ever lived, Aaron HaKohen, the patriarchal figure of the priesthood, Cheski, and you put Shmuel HaNavi into the same pasuk, and the Gemara says, yes, to teach us that in every generation, the leaders, the Rabbanim, they may not be of equal stature, but they are the ultimate authority. And here's where the Gemara makes that famous statement that has become a rabbinic aphorism. Yiftach bedoro kishmuel bedoro. That Yiftach, who certainly couldn't learn like Shmuel HaNavi, Yiftach, who certainly wasn't a tzaddik, a chassid like Shmuel HaNavi, Yiftach bedoro kishmuel bedoro. Well, that's the question with Noah. He's tzaddik, tamim, chayah, bedora, tov. But here it did Noah is before Matan Torah. Here it's very, very sharp. We have to paskin. We have to accept responsibility. We have to be honest. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about psak means and how. But we cannot have an inferiority complex. What can I do? The Ribbono Shel Olam, and there I have a lot of Torah from the Rav on this topic, that the Ribbono Shel Olam puts you in a certain time period where you can succeed. The Rav quotes Rav Kook, that if we had been created before this time, we would not succeed. Rakefet, born on Washington Avenue, born in the Bronx, born into a certain era, born a 25-minute walk from Yankee Stadium. By the way, the Yankees now picked up a Jewish ball player. Can you believe it or not? Euclid. And it's unbelievable how fans are going to come out. Not married. No, that's the. And Sean Green is married to a Jewish girl. And Hank Greenberg in his second marriage has maneuvered a whole bunch of them. But they didn't learn Torah. What can you do? Halavai, they would be in this classroom. Maybe we would convert the wives. We'd work it out. Gentlemen, you're born at a certain time. You can win at this time. You can struggle. You can overcome. You can climb. You can be successful. Yiftach b'toro kishmuel b'doro. And the Gemara goes on. It then quotes another pasuk from Devarim. And by the way, in Schattenstein, you can get all, it's a beautiful thing, all the psukim with where it is. You find it in a minute. You don't have to look twice. Ubata lakonim rabim l'shneif shofet asher yiyeh bayamim haheim. And the Gemara asks, v'chki talel daitcha sh'adam holeich etzel hadayan shelo haya b'yamav ha'ein lecha leilech etzel ha'shofet sh'b'yamav v'omar al tomah ma hayu sh'ayamim rishanim hayu tovim me'ela. And look at the Tosfos. Look at the way he learns pshat. Gentlemen, it's exactly that Michlala girl smacking my face and saying to me, Rebbe, you're a nice guy, But I'm not going to ask you the Shaila. I'm going to the grave of Rabbi Akiva Eger, and I'm going to say, Rabbi Akiva Eger, Rabbi Shel Posen, I'm in Yerushalayim for Pesach, but I live in Teaneck. Do I observe 1 day or 2 days? If it's 1 day, Rabbi Akiva, knock once. If it's 2 days, knock twice. Simcha, what do you say? She's off the wall or she's normal? She's off the wall. It's against an open Gemara. Hashofet Ashe Yiyeh B'yamim Hahem. And I can't get over the language of the Gemara. How the Gemara knows this girl, knows this mentality. Who the heck is Rakefet? Who wants to ask a Shaila from someone alive today? Lowlifes, bums, icefavs, trumpenics, Yankee fans, whatever you want to say. And Lachain, look at the way Tosfos says that you shouldn't say, Lachach yesh l'shmol l'rishonim yotam in achronim. The girl is right. Rebbe, would you be teaching Torah if Rebbe Akiva Eger lived at this time? Of course not. I'd be sweeping streets. It doesn't matter. You are alive now. Al tomaka. Don't say that to Rakefet. The Eimacha Elishofet Shehaya B'yamav. What a Gemara. Number one. Don't forget that Gemara. Very, very powerful. Then there's the Sugyam Baba Batra. Daf Kuf Lamid Amid Bet. Yes, yes.
Maybe that Gemara is saying that when you have a choice between previous generations and this generation, then obviously instead you go to Rabbanim in this generation, it's a question of which Rabbanim in this generation, a Stam, young rabbi versus a...
Moshe, this is why I cautioned you. You have to do your research and you have to consult. I'm well aware of what you're saying. We will come to it in great detail, but what's overwhelming is that you should not have a lack of self-confidence. If you've worked out a sugya and you speak it over with a Rav Muvhak, you have a right to paskin. Later in life, you yourself become a Rav Muvhak. You understand? I can tell you, I don't want to go into detail, but I've passed him some very difficult shilas. I'll give you one little example. Maybe I mentioned it in class, so let me say it quickly. Had a very difficult family shila a number of years ago, many years ago. And in this family, the husband was my Talmud, and the wife, all her siblings were my students, but she went, in popular language, black, Haredi. So Rakefet Paskins, what he Paskins? No, it's not Rabbi Shaila. I want to tell you, 5 years later, they asked Rabbi Yashiv, he Paskined what I Paskined word by word by word. It's as if he heard me, because I said something. I said, if he knows the Malamed Lahoil, nothing is going to help. Those were my words in this Shaila. Rabbi Yashiv, word by word. If he, if I can, if who your day, who my care, the Malamed Lahoil, shum davar lo yaaseh. Okay? By then it was too late. Had they listened to me 5 years later, could be it could have saved the terrible family situation which ultimately the mother had, don't ask what happened as a result. Could be it could have saved. I don't say, who might have said, but what I have a little bit nachat is that 5 years later, the Haredi world got the exact same psak, but all right, what you said, obviously, if you're Haredi, you're not going to come to Rakefet. Okay? If you see no dati, perhaps you come to Rakefet. Sometimes you got to come to Rakefet because there's certain areas where, you know, he has the weakness hand, to paraphrase the Gemara. Okay, but I want to show you Gemaras that you should have self-confidence and not be overwhelmed and make up your mind, I'm going to be a posek. I'm learning. I'm accepting responsibility. This is the Sugyan Baba Batra. Daf Kuf Lamed Amid Bet Kuf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. And it's a very interesting sugya. I quoted this last year, dealing with the whole question of which is more important, the Sefer of Psak or Tshuvat Halacha L'maisa. In other words, in a Sefer of Psak, you open up the Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata, it's going to give you all the modern day Psakim in the world. And just Friday night, I was talking, going back from the Kotel, I learned how to use my oven, how to set it, that it can go on at a certain time, go off at a certain time. So I said, I believe on Yontif, there's no problem opening it even when it's on. As long as the light remains on constant, your opening doesn't affect the light. Yontif, you're allowed to cook, unlike Shabbos when you have to wait until the oven goes off. And I said, but I haven't dealt with this in so many years. I looked into the Shmei Tzav Hilchot. I see he deals with it. My thoughts were absolutely correct. But that's a safer psak. Rav Moshe, the Yigrot Moshe, is halacha lemaisa. He got shilas. You know, what do you do in a hotel, for instance? How do you heat up food on Shabbos morning? I can tell you that I still remember it was one of the big hotels. Anyone give me the hotel that the Daveman family owned? The Pine View, was that the name? Homowack, right. The Homowack. So I remember the Homowack, they gave me a tour of the kitchen. So they showed me on Shabbos, they have heat and they have like steel tables on which they put the food. And they told the Reb Moshe was there and Paskin that it is high enough that it can't be yatzoledit, and yet it can warm up. So like 8 o'clock in the morning, they'll put all the kugels, these were big, long, I never saw an arrangement like that. But Reb Moshe Paskin halacha lemaisa. And a shayla, that is happening every week, week in and week out. I don't have to tell you, warming food on Shabbos in a hotel is a tremendous question. How do you do it? What can you do? How can you handle it? It's not just one or two people. You're dealing with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who expect to be served meals like Shlomo HaMelech B'Shaito, Sudat Shlomo HaMelech B'Shaito. So we dealt with that problem last year. Inevitably, you have to reach a conclusion based upon this Gemara that halacha lemaaser is more important than any tradition or learning or book or psak that you may have, because halacha lemaaser already you have a certain siyata lishmaya. Tana rabbanan ein lemeitim halacha lo mipi limud lo mipi maaser ad sheyomru lo halacha lemaaser sha'al v'yomru lo halacha lemaaser. You can have confidence, you can do it when a Rav tells you this is the halacha, this is not just theory, you can have confidence. And then the Gemara goes on to talk about treifat. And the Gemara makes a very important point. When it comes to treifat, you can't learn one treifa from another. In other words, the different treifat, you can't reach any conclusion. If Chazal say this is a treifa, and you're going to say, well, there's something similar in a different part of the animal, you can't make a conclusion. You cannot compare them. This is a treifa, this is not. A hole in the lung is a treifa, a hole elsewhere may not be. And there, you have to know what you're doing. So the Gemara gets involved. Maybe a dayan, when he has to paskin, when a rav has to paskin, you start to second guess yourself. Maybe had I seen the treif a little differently, had I seen it in a different light, had I blown up the sikhar a little differently, had I used a little bit more force in my lungs. The Gemara goes on, for instance, dam nida. You all know that if you have to paskin a shaylin, dam nida, it can be a big difference if the blood is wet or the blood is dry. Generally speaking, we wait for the blood to dry before we paskin. So could you imagine a posek is worried, well, I looked at it, it might have still been a little wet, it wasn't totally dry, maybe I made a mistake, maybe I didn't see the color properly. Hold on 1 second. So the Gemara says, you should not worry about this. The Ein L'dayan Ella Ma she'enav ro'at. And this too is an unbelievable principle. You are a human being. You can only deal with your eyes. You don't have to bring a microscope. You don't have to second guess yourself. You have to do the best you can. You have to research the question. But this is the case you have in front of you. and these words become a rabbinic aphorism, the Ein L'dayan Ella Ma She'enav Ro'at. And you look into Rashi, Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, the Rashi at the start of the page, and you'll see he brings down a Gemara from Masechet Nida, where Rebbe saw blood at night, and then he looked at it by day, and he was worried that maybe he made a mistake, maybe the color changed, and the Gemara says, no, Ein L'dayan Ela Ma She'enav Ro'at. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to second guess yourself. What did you want to ask?
Yeah, and a rough was Yorin,
the Yod and Yod. No, Yotin Yotin is only to sit on a base then in Dine Mamonot. That's when you need Yotin Yotin. But Yorin Yorin gives you the right, the Paskin is Shiloh. Yeah, of course. And the truth of the matter is that you don't need Yorin Yorin, you don't need Yotin Yotin. All you need is knowledge. In other words, the Chafetz Chaim never got smicha. You know when he finally got smicha? When the Polish government instituted a discount for clergy on the mass transit system, so they convinced the Chafetz Chaim to get smicha. Okay? The Chazon Ish. No one knows where he got smicha. No one knows where he got smicha. These people, the Rav finally took smicha when he was leaving Europe and going on to Berlin, so he got smicha, we know, from the Deva Avraham, from Rav Avraham Dov Ber Kahana Shapiro. But the Gedolei, Gedolei Yisrael, the Paskin, you need knowledge. What about women today, the Yotzet Halakha, who can Paskin the Dinei Shailas and Hilchot Nida? Yeah, they don't have smicha, but they have a certificate that in that area they are very knowledgeable. They are probably more knowledgeable than a man. I don't think any male... Exactly. When I read the article that my Talmidah, Dina Cohn, she's married to a kollel guy. What's the married name? Dina Cohn is the name I knew her by. But she married Sammy. Sammy, I'll think of it. It doesn't matter now. He learned in this kollel. Anyone remember that? Zuckerman? Zimmerman. Thank you. Sammy Zimmerman. So it's Dina Cohn Zimmerman. She wrote an article on Tarat Mishpacha with women who have cancer and all the problems involved with Nidah and Bedikat. And I tell you, I was overwhelmed by her knowledge, overwhelmed by her intuitive understanding as a woman, and overwhelmed by her sensitivity. It appeared in tradition. She's published Sfarim. I mean, these are great women. So you don't need smicha, actually. You need knowledge. Knowledge is what counts. Of course, smicha is a formal document that we hope indicates that you have knowledge. And this Gemara is very powerful. Ein l'dayan ela ma she'enav ro'at. And I'll tell you, Rabbi Moshe Bick, when I was a kid and I was watching him paskin, he taught me a klal that is extremely important. He said, when he paskins a shayla, he is asked. He said, you can start to think that maybe there can be a fallout, maybe people can misinterpret it, maybe people can misquote you. He says, Ein l'dayan ela ma she'enav ro'at. You paskin the shayla that is in front of you. You do not have to worry about side issues that may or may not come up. This is the question they asked, and this is the question you have to answer. And I believe that the Gemara in Baba Batra, Ein l'dayan ela ma she'enav ro'at, is a big proof, a big complement, supplement to this approach by Reb Moshe Bick. And let me go one step further.
By the way, Reb Moshe Bick left almost 200 descendants.
200, Kainainhara. They say that Reb Moshe Tzvi Neria, his wife just died a week ago, she left over 150 great-grandchildren. Kainainhara. These are great Jews. These are great Jews. That's unbelievable.
No,
I've said this a million times over. It's another another poke into Hitler's eye, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. Now, let me go one step further. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Vav Amid Bet. And it's a fabulous Gemara. And the Gemara here is talking about what it means to be a posek. So, what do you see here? A Dayan should be shaking with fear. What is he doing? He's doing God's work. Who is he judging? The Jewish people. Who's watching him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can be severely punished for what he's doing. And take a look one step further. But Yehoshaphat, look what it says in Yehoshaphat, where in it's a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, and Yehoshaphat is appointing judges, the king. And the king says to the judges, "Vayomer la'shoftim ru'uma atem osim ki lo la'adam tishpa'u ki la'Hashem." That you should be aware when you are sitting in judgment, you have to understand that you are paskening for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a theological question that deals with God, deals with Torah, deals with religion. If you look into Choshen Mishpat, you'll see that one of the requirements for the Dayanim are to sit in awe, to wear big day Shabbos. Dayanim would wear strimals, would wear black hats. I think in the but they did them here too. Even where you have tzionim datiyim dayanim with big kippot srugot, they wear black hats on top. That is the levush, that is the bigud. This is to show yirat hakavod, that they're standing before God. It's like the Gemara in Shabbos, when you get up to daven, you have to put on shoes, you have to put on decent clothes, you have to show you're standing b'yirah before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's warning the Dayanim, know for whom you're judging. It's not for man, it's for God. So now the Gemara asks that famous question. If this is the case, Yomer HaDayan, and this too becomes a rabbinic aphorism, Ma Li B'Tzar Hazeh. We say, Ma Li L'Tzara Zot. Why should I get involved? Why should I take the responsibility? Why should I step across this line? Why should I open my mouth? Let someone else do it. Talmud Loma. And again, it's another pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, from Yehoshaphat. Vaya'amed shoftim ba'aretz b'chol arei Yehuda. And the pasuk continues, imachem bidva hamishpat, that God is with you. Vayoma, I'm quoting the whole pasuk now. Divrei Hayamim bet, perek yutet, pasuk vav. Vayoma la'shoftim ru'uma atem osim ki lo la'dim ki lo la'dam tishpatu ki la'Hashem ve'imachem bidva mishpat. God is with you. No. This pasuk is in Divrei Hayamim bet, chapter 19. Pasuk Vav, and know that God is with you. Look into Rashi, that if you do your research, v'yitkaven lo tzil et tzedek ulamito, God will never punish you. You've done the best you can. And then the Gemara ends off, quoting the Gemara we just quoted, Ein lo l'dayan ella Masha Einav Ro'at. So, gentlemen, we are mortals. We're not as big as the Mishnah Berurah. We're not as big as the Aruch HaShulchan. But sometimes we have to make a decision. Who do we follow? Who is correct? What do we do halacha l'maisa? Many shailas, many difficulties. As I said before, some shailas are not earth-shaking. Yantiv Sheni is a din d'rabbanan. Many shailas deal with minhag, it's not earth-shaking. We've dealt with so many questions over the course of generations. Again, do you wear a shekel, do you wear a tichel? Right? It's a very important question, because it affects the community in which you live. But on the scale of halachic values, it's not earth-shaking.
Dini
Avelet outside of the first day is kula de rabbanan, absolutely. By Avelet, we have a cloud that whenever there's a she'ilan Avelet, we always can be mekil. If there's a machlekes between Rishonim, Achreinim, Dini Avelet, we are always mekil. That's a klal. You see, today the way Avelet developed, I mean, who would ever dream? When I was growing up, Avelet meant you didn't leave your house. Today, Ribbono Shel Olam, they travel 10,000 miles. Someone dies in Los Angeles, they bury him in Israel, they go back to the airport. By the time they get back to Los Angeles to join the bereaved woman who's now an almana, and she's the Gedolah HaMishpacha, they sit shiva 4 days, if that much. You understand what I'm saying? Because they get up when the mother sits, when the mother gets up, and the mother sits down on Velut, the minute they leave the funeral chapel for the airport, she turns away. She's going home. She's not going to the funeral. And Avelet Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel. It's a whole machloket in the Netziv. It's going back 150 years. But look what we paskin today. It's always amazing to me. And then you have people sit the day of the funeral, the next day, part of the third day, and then they fly back to America or they fly to Israel. Because it's the end of 3 days. There's 1 day, 3 days, 7 days. You understand what I'm saying? In the halacha, there are reasons we can be more mekel at the end of 3 days. And they fly back, and what's the reason they give? To make it easier for Nicham Avel. You understand that we have friends in Israel, we have friends in America. If we just sit in one place, we're not going to be able to accommodate all the people who want to be Menachem Avel. So at the end of 3 days, they'll leave Israel, go to America. I had that with my wife. The third day I put her on a plane to join her sister in America when she was sitting Shiva for her father, Zichrono Livracha. Because I saw that it meant everything to her to be with her sister at that time. So, all right, I followed the psukim that are out there on the street. But you're absolutely right. But the bottom line is that Ein Hachinami, it's not easy to be a posek. And it's easier to say, Eini Yodea, it's easier to be Machmir. My wife used to say to me many years ago already, she started saying, it's funny, when we got married, you were Machmir in everything. Now, sometimes you're Machmir, sometimes you're Mekil. I say, when we got married, I was in a marriage to the second power. Now, I'm only in a marriage to the first power. So I know a little bit more. But Moshe, it goes without saying, you have to do your research, you have to do your learning. You can't just walk in and open up a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in English and say, Hyman Goldman says this, and this is what I'm posketing, all right? You have to know what you're doing. Okay, and those are very important sources I gave you. I cannot tell you how important that Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah is. And if we're going to start quibbling and generations knew more, what do we know? And Rabbi Gamliel doesn't know enough. It's the end of Yiddishkeit, the end of tradition. The Gemara in Baba Batra, Ein Ladain Al Masha Ein Av Ro'ot, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ma Li Uletzara Zu, or Letzar Zaz, the Gemara says. And wow, this is a posek. And at this moment, I want to, halavai, I could meet my Rebbeim again from Mir and Slabodka and Telz and say to them, Nugent, I have to speak with them in Yiddish, but I'll say it, I'll translate into English. Gentlemen, you always said to me, you don't know how to paskin. Take a look, a little American kid who knew baseball. I think I know a little bit how to paskin. We have to. We don't have a choice. We're the Rabbanim, and I quote these sources. We may not always be totally right. It's you can always have a machleket, but at least this is a legitimate psak. Yeah. Anyone want to add? Yitzchak.
What happens if you do research and you find out that the halacha is based on a historical circumstance that doesn't exist anymore today? I'll give an example.
Yeah.
Taking a shower on Shabbos. Not that I'm going to do showers on Shabbos. But the whole reason for not taking a shower on Shabbos was because they were, the Beit HaMerchatz, the fellows were, worked on Shabbos to make sure that there would be warm water.
So right, can't wash your whole body.
They
right.
were Mechalel Shabbos in order to have hot water. Today, we have everything automatic.
Yeah, but first of all, today, with hot water, where do you get hot water on Shabbos? The only, you're already getting involved in a very heavy machloket. But I don't have to tell you, it's the Shmir Tshavske Hilchata in the first edition, they put him in the Cheirim a million times over. Now, I personally know that he did not change his mind. If you read the second edition, the third edition, look at the footnote carefully, you'll see he hasn't changed his mind. And he's told people he hasn't changed his mind. But he still has to write it now at that Mayika Din, you can't do it, so that the Litvish Welt shouldn't jump on him and, excommunicate him. I don't, maybe using too strong a word, but certainly maledict him would be a better word. So it's not. But I have to tell you, once you have a gezeira, you need a Beit and Yotel Gedol, Michachma V'minyan. What about medicine? What about medicine? Who grinds up their powder today? I mean, I saw that when I traveled throughout the world, there are communities where they still grind powder, which are very primitive. But certainly, in Israel, I'll agree with you perhaps. But the gezeira remains. But see, in that case...
You know that the Rav told the person?
Yeah. I spoke with the Rav, and the Rebbe told me that he's never yet paskened for a person not to take medicine. He says, if they ask you and they tell you they can't function, they have to lie down, they have to sit down, that's enough to lahakel. So there you have a room lahakel. Also, if a person is taking 10 days of antibiotics, they have to take it. All the poskim say that.
That,
yeah, well, it's even if it isn't total pikuach nefesh, but certainly in such circumstances, b'makom tzar lo gazru rabbanan.
So well, that person's taking heart medicine,
right?
And has kidneys.
On Pesach, if a person has to take heart medicine, he can have all the kidneys in the world. That's not a shaila. Taking a pill is not eating. That's shaloka derech achila. In Israel, they're very makpid. This is what I'm told, that all Israeli medicine does not have wheat in it. When they use anything to hold the pill together, they use kidneyot. They will not use anything beyond, not to have a problem with Pesach. So with Israel, basically, from what I'm told, all the medicine manufactured here never has a shaila of chametz on Pesach. Kidneys is not a shaila. But if a person really has a medicine that he must take that has in it at least some sort of wheat in a certain form, it doesn't matter. He's not eating it. It's a pill. You follow? Same thing with vitamins. We grew up, whoever asked for a heksha and vitamins, you understand? It was a pill. You swallow a pill. 1 second. Today, you have Baruch Hashem, endless vitamins with hashgacha. All the vitamins made in Israel have hashgacha. It's an amazing thing. And I'm Hara, we are very fortunate to live in the state of Israel. Yeah.
Before Pesach, I used to get these questions all the time.
You're a pharmacist, okay. So you know what I'm saying. Okay. Now, gentlemen, let me begin. And now let me start and go one step. And we have many, many, many more steps to do. Now, all that I've told you now, I've told you is, I would say, I gave you a sermon. I gave you different musa. I gave you different machshava, philosophy, theology. Call it what you wish. Herbie?
Yes, sir.
Now I want to give you a halacha. And this is an amazing klal, because it goes against the heart of our theology, philosophy, hashkafa. And let me introduce it with a true story. How do I know it's a true story? Simcha, you're going to ask me, David, you saw the story in Art Scroll? Absolutely. What? Rakefet believes a story in an Art Scroll history book? This story I believe because I was sitting right next to the participants on the El Al plane with my own ears and my own eye. So I don't quote on scroll, I quote Rat Catcher. What's the story? Steve, what's the story? 1980, the Israeli government asked me to go to Denver, Colorado to combat Arab propaganda on the University of Denver campus. The shtick was that I go as a scholar, scholar in residence. So you speak on the campus and you give lectures in your field, but in addition, you are combating Arab propaganda when you speak about Israel. Fine. 1980 mean anything to you in the history of Torah in modern times? Do you know what the Agudat Israel was all about? Do you know what the Knesiyah Gedolot were about? The last Knesiyah Gedolans, the last one you will ever see, till Mashiach comes. 1980. Why is it the last one you'll ever see, Yaakov? There's so much infighting in the Haredi world. They can't come together anymore. Look at the election, what's going on now, how many Haredi parties. In 1980, if I would tell you what I heard with my own ears at the Knesiyah Gedolah, you wouldn't eat for the next 3 days, you'd be fasting. So thank the Ribbono Shel Olam that I'm not telling you now. Anyway, the night I get on the plane to fly to New York to connect with a flight for Denver is the end of the Knesiyah Gedolah. And I come to the plane, and there are all the heavyweights of Agudat Yisrael, Menachem Peres and Shalom Lawrence and others, and they're accompanying the American Rabbanim to the plane. Among the Rabbanim is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And I get a good seat, the government, oh, with room to spread my feet. Today I'm much older, I don't need room, I don't need anything, I get on a plane. That's it. Right out. You hit. There's certain advantages to growing older. There are disadvantages and advantages. That's an advantage. So a Talmid of mine was on the plane. She said, Rebbe, you slept the whole way? I said, yeah, I know. I got on the plane 1 o'clock in the morning, and Baruch Hashem, opened up my eyes to Daven Shachris, and then I went back to sleep, opened my eyes to Daven Mincha, opened my eyes to eat breakfast and get off the plane and Daven Maariv. Gentleman, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, is sitting right in front of me. Right next to him, these are the, I don't know how the plane was designed then, but these were bulk seats. You had nothing in front of you. Right next to him is the head of the Histadrut, Yeruchim Meshel. Yeruchim Meshel, an old-time Mapainik. This is the Mapai that believed religion is coming to an end. And they start a discussion in Mama Lashon. And standing over Yaakov is a young man, bearded, bending over. Zayda, was kann ich tun für Zayda? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? And they get involved in a heavy discussion. In Yiddish, Mama Lashon. That's Rabbi Yochum Lee, this is a world famous rabbi, and this is the head of the Histadrut. And Rabbi Yaakov was a very friendly person. This is not the present Gerer Rebbe who wouldn't talk to a Machal of Shabbos. You know, the present Rebbe doesn't talk to anyone who's Machal of Shabbos. So Rabbi Yochum Meshel finally asks him, this is all in Yiddish, saying it in English but living it in Yiddish. Rabbi Yaakov, who is that young man standing over you? It's my grandson. Your grandson? You have a relationship with your grandson like that? My grandchildren barely talk to me. We're in two different worlds. So Rabbi Yaakov says to him, I'll explain it to you. You believe man comes from an ape, right? Darwin. Correct. Your grandson's run away. You're closer to an ape than he is. We believe that the greatest generation was the generation that received Matan Torah. And every subsequent generation, Hitadurut Hadarot, there was a little less. We came down. My grandchildren latch on to me because I'm closer to Matan Torah than they are. Rabbi Yeruchim Meshel couldn't believe that answer. It had a big impact on him. For all I know, at that moment, he may have had Hihurei Tshuva. But you just think about that answer. So what do we see from there? Harishonim kamalachim. Anu b'nei tumutam, quoting the Gemara properly. Generally quoted, anu b'nei adam, anu b'nei anoshim. There's another variant reading in the Midrashim. Harishonim kamalachim. Again, come back to what I said an hour ago, an hour and a half ago. Gedolei Yisrael, we're Messiah Shas every month. Simcha sitting there thinking, wow, blown away. Believe me, blown away. Who are we? Rav Chaim Zimmerman, 10:30 in the morning, starts Masechet Baba Batra, 8 o'clock at night, he's biting into a corned beef sandwich during the 9 days. Who are we? And yet, every word I said to you a moment ago is absolutely, totally correct. And it reflects in a tremendous halakhic principle. Halakha kabat ra'i. The law is like the last one. But you can have tremendous machloket. Gemara machloket. Rishonim machloket. Achronim machloket. The law is like the last authority. Shulchan Aruch paskin what he paskin, that's it. You can't go back to the Gemara, you can't go back to the Mishnah, you can't go back to the Rishonim, you can't start adding up and counting. The halacha is kabat ra'i. What a cloud. What a rule. What a viewpoint. Moshe, you got to admit, my homiletical sermon was not off base. I did not strike out. I hit the nail on the head. Let me end off. Where do we find this? Find it many places, but give you a major basic makar. Bab Metzia, Lamed Chet, Amid Aleph. And a very interesting question in the Gemara. You deposit fruit, Hamafkid Preirot Eitzel Chavero, and you forget to take it. I asked Herbie Maltz, watch these apples for me. A week goes by. Apples are good. 2 weeks. They start to rot. 3 weeks. There'll be nothing left. You all know, you buy fruit, if you don't put it into the refrigerator, today we have refrigerators, you're going to have nothing left. You have vegetables, they're going to walk away. Sure, there's nothing like a fresh vegetable, not like a fresh fruit. You buy a kilo of peaches, a kilo of oranges, a kilo of grapefruits. At the end of a week and a half, you got to put them into the refrigerator, even earlier. So the Mishnah raised a very interesting question. What should you do? Maybe I'll sell it, and I'll give Herbie the money. When he comes 2 months later, I'll say, look, had I let it stay on my counter, it would have rotted away. I sold it for a shekel. Here's the shekel. Otherwise, you would have nothing.
Why can't I eat it?
Then I have to pay you for what I ate. Fine. Eating it is no... I can buy it myself. Fine. Or there's another opinion that you can't touch it. Because even if the peirot are going to start to rot, and he forgot about it, a man wants his own fruit. Adam rotzeh b'kav shalom meitisha kabim shel chabero. It's my fruit. I grew it. I planted it. I took care of it. I put on anti-insect sprays, insecticide. I worked hard. I harvested it. Don't sell it. There's another opinion. Maybe I made this fruit Tumat Maestrat already on some other fruit. Don't touch it. If it drops, it drops, but it's not for you to sell it and spare the man's money. And there's a whole machloket. How do you paskin here? Look into the riff. And the riff says, the halacha is like Rav Nachman, the bat Rehu. He was the last to deal with this problem. Look into the Rush on the Gemara. The Rush quotes the Rif, Halacha Kabat Ra'e. Gentlemen, we have just put down the most basic klal in Halacha. Some of you may recall that I got hysterical at that Talmud Chacham who lives up the block in Bayit Vagan, who wants to redo the whole halachic system and go back to the Gemara and take different viewpoints than the Psak, as long as it's a viewpoint in the Gemara, and we're going to come to his essay in great detail, but not yet. Why was I opposed? It overthrows the whole halachic system. Halacha Kabat Ra'e. Rotten, R-O-T-T-E-N. Rotten. Bat Ra'e, Bet, Tav, Resh, Aleph, Yud. Halacha. You look it up in the Rush, the Rif, you'll see right before your eyes. Gentlemen, and let me end off. How many times I heard a merida comment from the Rav? You know what the Rebbe used to say? When you learn Shitat Beit Hillel and Shitat Beit Shammai, it's exactly the same scha for Torah Ba'al Peh. If you paskin like Beit Shammai in place of Beit Hillel, you're overthrowing all of tradition. You follow me, Moshe? That's what it means. Halacha Kabat Ra'e. The Gemara said, Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, Abaye Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rav Shmuel, Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Learning, it's all the same. Could you imagine a guy will come out with the Gemara, I'm only going to learn the sugyas that are halacha l'maisa, and he's going to leave out all of Beit Shammai. Terrible. But when it comes to Psak, halacha kabat ra'i. Gentlemen, on the basis of what I've just said, halacha kabat ra'i, I'm going to spend many, many weeks of unbelievable, fascinating material. But like every house we build, you have to put down a little foundation. Today we put down the basement, a little foundation. What did we say? Oh, we said a great deal. Most of all, a whole sermon on self-confidence. A whole sermon of a Rebbe being a little negative about that attitude, ich weiß nicht allein wie zu paskenen, and thank God I overcame that roadblock. What can we do? We have to pasken. We're Rabbanim, we're the teachers, we're looked up to. This is the reality. I am a nobody, I'm a nobody. But in this generation, if I would tell you what happened at YU 2 weeks ago, I don't believe it myself. But what can I do? What can I do? I'd smack the people. I heard certain things were said behind my back. I mean, how can you compare me to? It's unbelievable. But Yiftach Bedarach or Shmuel Bedarach, I'm Yiftach. They compared me to Shmuel. They're all wrong. But on the other hand, they're right. Yiftach Bedarach to Shmuel Bedarach. Ein l'dayin ala mashen avrawat. We have to do our best, but we have to paskin. And this is a klal in halacha. With all that Rabbi Yaakov told you, Ruchim Meshel, halacha kabat ra'e. Gentlemen, before I give out the freebies, I just want to mention my student Isaac Rice, who everyone is driving crazy. Are you related to Rabbi Abraham Rice? It seems a lot of people listening to the Monday lecture came up with a sefer. I quote the sefer to you. It doesn't solve the problem, really. Pa'at Sadcha by Rav Shmuel David HaKohen Munk, who is the Rav of the Kila Haredit in Haifa. And he, on page Tzadi Hei, let me see if it's Tzadi Hei or Tzadi Chet, Tzadi Hei, deals with the question I asked, how is it that all the shuls in Yerushalayim don't lay in Simchas Torah night and save the Shita Tagon? And in the Maisa Rav, we're told that the Goyen gave out 3 aliyah Simchas Torah night. So he comes, the problem's a problem. His solution is that really the Gaon was opposed to laning Simchas Torah, but the Minig was so rooted among Klal Yisrael that he couldn't uproot it. That's his solution. That's a Teretz from Bubba, but it's an interesting thing that at least he's bothered by the same problem that bothers me. Also, many months ago we spoke about the Gemara in Shabbos with wearing a hat with a big brim and a whole machlokes rishonim. What's wrong with the hat? And if you learn pshat that you'll take it off or it'll blow off, I said maybe we can solve the problem by putting a string around the hat and wearing it around your face. My student, Rabbi Lieutenant Colonel Mark Wiener, gave me this in Chicago. There's a whole industry of strings that you put on your hat in Texas, and that what I was saying as a joke was not really that much of a joke.
How about a baseball cap?
We can wear hats on Shabbos. We don't have the problem. It's one opinion in the glow. We don't pass them that way. Gentlemen, a defense of Richard Joel. Everyone criticized him for his high salary. The New York Times had an article that 36 private college presidents earned over $1 million in 2010. And Richard Joel is not one of them. So here is a defense. This is extremely interesting. This is an organization in Israel of Rabbanim and Rabbaniyot dealing, Beit Hillel it's called. It's trying to establish a rabbinate. This is a work in process that will not be Haredi, but will be Tzioniyim, Datiyim, but learned and loyal to Halacha. I found this very interesting. I'd like someone to take it and read the tshuva on eating in a house where there's no kashrut, what you can do. I don't agree with everything they say. I think they're too mekil. What's interesting here, too, is that one of the members of this organization is a product of this very kollel, Rabbi Ariel Constantine in Tel Aviv. I'd like to see your opinion. Those of you that want to bring their wife a gift, I can't believe it, but these are Nashim magazines put out by Makor Rishon for religious Zionist women. What's amazing to me is look at the size of the new magazine which came out for Hanukkah, and I have to say I can't agree that every picture is 100% sneers, but it's 90% along the way, and I have to say it's very interesting to see this, that they can put out such large magazines. But I mean, what I mean not sneers is that the neckline perhaps should be a little higher in my humble opinion, but I'm amazed that they can put out a magazine of this type and have an audience and fabulous articles. We are making progress. Tomorrow, gentlemen, you will be overwhelmed by how I begin the class, Dance Orthodox Chickens. Until we meet again in health and happiness, a freilich in Eis Chanukah, and Das Vedanya.
Ah. Man, you go like, did you eat supper yet?
I haven't basically.
Where does this go that you have the...